You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. How are you this afternoon? I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and as you know, we've been enjoying learning about the various miracles, the supernatural, and we'll be embarking pretty soon on angels. In fact, we may be touching on that a little bit later on in the broadcast. If not, listen for it, because we'll be going into angels. And do you think, and you know, brothers and sisters, while I have you now, you know, the occurrences that many people describe as miracles, they fit into several categories, but they're witnessed by first-hand observers, and they all involved some mysterious element. They encouraged observers to consider and even focus on the power behind the mystery. The angels of the Bible possesses a mystery of their own. And when we consider all that Scripture says about angels, we find such a rich tapestry that reveals their types and their structure and their origin. These spiritual beings brought messages, both joyous and some a little frightening. They fought in hand-to-hand combat and performed amazing feats. Today, when some of us view miracles and angels as sensationalistic or cartoonish, it's refreshing to know that we are discussing the unexplainable, looking beyond the curtain of this world and into a richer, deeper world of faith. So, brothers and sisters, with that said, I thought I would discuss with you the blind Assyrian army. So the king of Syria regarded himself as a pretty mighty warrior, and yet his best laid battle plans were constantly thwarted by the Israelites' visionary prophet Elisha. Each time the Syrian army set up camp, hoping to catch the Israelite army unaware, Elisha used his prophetic insight to warn Israel's king to stay clear of the area. When the Syrian king discovered who was responsible for ruining his battle plans, he was determined to find the culprit and make him answer for those actions. The king sent his best soldiers to Dotham, Elisha's hometown. And that's D-O-T-H-A-N, Dothan. When Elisha's servant woke the next morning and realized they were surrounded, he was understandably nervous, right? But Elisha had confidence that God would protect them. Amazing, huh? He prayed for his servant to see the reality of the situation, and suddenly the servant was granted a vision, an angelic army, complete with fiery horses and chariots, stood ready to protect the city. Next, Elisha prayed that God would blind the approaching Syrian army. And once more, God obliged. Elisha led the sightless army away from Dothan to the capital city of Samaria, where he prayed that God would restore their sight. Once again, Elisha's prayer was answered. On Elisha's orders, the Israelites spared the lives of their would-be captives. The Syrians were given a meal and sent on their way. Imagine, can you imagine this scene? After such a humiliating experience, it was some time before the Syrians staged another attack on the Israelites. You can find that scripture, brothers and sisters, in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Brothers and sisters, God answers prayer. He answers prayer. And I know you're all praying. Deliverance from the pandemic. Deliverance from the COVID-19 virus. Maybe you're self-isolating. All these new words that we've heard that we've never would have ever heard in our time. Self-isolation, social distancing. Stay safe, stay strong, wash your hands. Wear a mask, wear gloves. It just goes on and on, brothers and sisters. But you know what? God is sovereign. God is faithful. God is in control. He's in the driver's seat. We have an awesome God. We just have to sit back and watch everything and know that God is in control. So be of good faith. One of the most memorable moments in the ancient world occurred when God provided for his people. When God's people were in a pinch, he often revealed himself as a champion, leaving the recipients stunned in the midst of their faith. So it is with miraculous events. We're going to now talk about the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead that came back to life, the separating of the seas, and so on. In each of these events, brothers and sisters, God intervened when his people needed him most. And today, thousands of years later, these stories still offer hope to those in need. For 430 years, the Israelites lived as slaves in Egypt. Everything changed, however, when God called a man named Moses to lead his chosen people to freedom. Moses petitioned the Egyptian king, or Pharaoh, to let the Israelites leave Egypt. And at first, Pharaoh was stubborn and he didn't want to let them go. It took 10 plagues, including the death of all of Egypt's firstborn in a single night, to finally convince Pharaoh to change his mind. The journey from slavery to liberation would prove to be long and arduous. Don't think all those Israelites were thrilled walking in the forests, in the wilderness, with nothing, no food, and complaining. It didn't take long for Pharaoh to regret his decision to let the Israelites go free, and not once he realized that it would mean a sizable loss to his labor force. But he was furious, and so the king and his forces pursued the Israelites until they finally caught up to them, trapping them against the shores of the Red Sea. What happened next has become one of the most iconic miracles of the Bible. Moses stretched his walking stick over the sea, and a strong wind blew all night long, dividing the sea until the land was actually dry, and the Israelites were able to walk across the seabed. Exodus chapter 14. Unfortunately for the Egyptian army, we know God only kept the sea parted long enough for the Israelites to pass through it, and with another stretch of his arm, Moses brought the parted walls of water crashing down on the pursuing Egyptian soldiers, destroying them all. With one last rush of the sea, the Israelites were finally free from more than four centuries of slavery. So, brothers and sisters, miracles are happening all the time. After the triumph of Exodus, the Israelites marched toward deliverance. Again, they hit a snag. Their destination was far away, and in between lay a very imposing stretch of desert and mountains, and the journey was brutally long and hard, and the Israelites were very ill prepared for it. They became disillusioned. They started complaining. They were hungry. They were tired of wandering. And undoubtedly, they felt anxious. They were, you know, where are we going? Where are we headed? Right? Many miles ahead. Where in the world are we? They thought, why did we follow this man, Moses? And according to the book of Exodus, their despair festered to the point where they wished they had died in Egypt without God's deliverance. And so what did they do? They complained to Moses and saying that, you know, at least the slaves, they had food to eat and a place to live. And in the midst of one moment of disillusionment, God promised to send a special kind of bread called manna. Moses, God's representative to the people, instructed each family to gather only as much as they needed for that day. That's a little different than what we've been going through. Did you know, people hoarding the toilet paper, for goodness sakes, stacking their buggies with nothing but meat? Isn't that interesting, isn't it? It's a little different, isn't it? And then finally, the grocery store said, no, two is your limit, finally. But the shelves were empty for so long. This unusual provision forced the Israelites to trust that God would provide for them day after day. God will provide, brothers and sisters. He will provide for you and for me and for you. We have to trust him. Many Israelites were tempted to hoard the food. No, we're talking back in the Bible's time. We're not talking 2020, are we? But it sure sounds like that. Okay, so they were tempted to hoard the food that covered the ground each day as they awakened, right? And since they didn't know whether more food would come the next day, right? They weren't sure. And they thought, well, you know, let's just take some extra. And according to the book of Exodus, some of the people gave in to temptation. But when they tried to keep their surplus food overnight, it would spoil. It would spoil by the following morning, becoming completely inedible. The daily provision of manna had one more remarkable twist to this. The people were told to gather twice as much on the sixth day of the week because Moses reported that the Lord had said that the seventh day, the Sabbath, was a sacred day of rest for honoring the Lord. And as God would later stipulate in the Decalogue or Ten Commandments, the people were expected to refrain from working on the Sabbath, which was from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. Thus, God granted the people a special exception, allowing the people to gather enough manna for 2 days on the sixth day. Miraculously, the extra food stayed fresh an extra day. At first, when God provided manna, he also provided quail. God told Moses that he would provide the Israelites with meat, a nutritious but rare delicacy in an era where most survived on a largely, at that time, vegetarian diet. Sure enough, quail flew overhead and landed in the Israelite camp. This happened later again in the journey, and again it followed a bout of complaints from the Israelites. According to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, a strong wind blew the quail into the Israelites' camp, piling the birds 3 feet high, enough for at least 50 bushels per person. In this case, however, the Israelites paid dearly for their greediness, and in not trusting that God would provide for them each day, the Lord afflicted the people with a deadly disease. Brothers and sisters, it's not like God is afflicting anything on us. Even though there are people that may say that what we're experiencing is God ordained. All I know is that I know that who is in the driver's seat? Our Lord. And we have to trust him. And no, we don't know the big picture. That's the problem. We like to know. We like to be in control. We're control freaks. We have to know. What am I doing today? What am I doing later on? Where am I going tomorrow? Where am I going next week? That's why we have a calendar. That's why our calendars were full. Appointments and different things. And now everything is at a standstill. There are no appointments to run to. There's no places to go but home. Make the most of your home time. Make the most of your peaceful time. Do not be afraid. God did not give you a spirit of fear, brothers and sisters. He didn't do that. He loves you, cares about you. He wants you to trust him. And he knows. He knew that this was coming, brothers and sisters. And he also knows when it's going to end. And it will end. There is a stop button to this. There's a start and a stop. And it will stop. When will it stop? When will we go back to church? When will we be with our parishioners? When will I go back and do the readings for 2 of the masses? When will I continue my Bible study? When will I see my mom and give her a hug? When will I see my daughter? When will my daughter get married now that the wedding is canceled? When? We're all asking so many whens. And of course, how and why? Brothers and sisters, don't go through that. Don't put yourself through that misery. Don't do that to yourself. Instead, I want you to become more resilient. That's why I've been broadcasting these kinds of things, these wonderful stories from the scripture, to show you that God's hand is upon us all the time. All the time, brothers and sisters. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Father Peter, God bless him. He's the one. He's the one who says that to us. We're a little slow in the congregation. He'll say it to us. He'll say, God is good. And we're supposed to say, all the time. And he'll say, all the time, God is good. We can't. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Oh my gosh. We get so confused. And he looks at us like, okay, children, let's try this again. And he'll say it. But, you know, it is true. God is good. God is merciful. God is loving. God is kind. God is rich in abundance and wants us to be happy. He wants us to feel safe. And we can be if we trust him. We have to let go of our own little quirks. I'm just looking for my little notes here. Sorry, brothers and sisters. But we're all kind of broadcasting from home these days, aren't we? We're all sort of in this other realm that we're not in front of our studio. And Alex is our wonderful engineer. He's working from home, and I think our good old Giovanni is in the studio, and Father is also in the studio, and so we're so grateful that they're there, and they're manning the fort, which is awesome. But you know, brothers and sisters, you have to take care of yourself. You have to make a point, taking a shower, maybe changing your clothes. I know track pants are very tempting and yoga pants are great, But sometimes wear something else, you know, maybe not your pajamas, right? Right? But there's a strong connection between health and resilience, right? So remember that. So do a little exercise if you can, stretch the arms, you know, if you're elderly, maybe move your fingers, move your toes, stretch the arms, twist your body a little bit, right? And try and get some good sleep, brothers and sisters. Try to let go of the things in your mind. Let them go. And try and think of something wonderful. Pray before you go to bed. Ask God to help you, to give you a peaceful sleep. And slowly, brothers and sisters, you will notice that sleep will boost your immunity. It'll give your immunity such strength. And it's easy to feel sad, but I want you to pull yourself together so that you're not run down. And if you are sick with the virus or just whatever, then rest. Enjoy the rest. Don't worry. Find a book, find a magazine, find something, scripture. Do something that's good for you and enjoy the peaceful time, right? If you can get out for a walk, 30 minutes is really amazing if you can. And eat. You must eat. And I'm saying, oh my gosh, well, so many of us have the pandemic tummy, right? We've all been eating. But eat sensibly, brothers and sisters. Try to, you know, eat sensibly. And if you're a mom, well, guess what? You can be a resilient mom. You know, moms face the biggest challenges managing their emotions under pressure, right? So find maybe a network of friends through your cell phone or through Zoom. Zoom is a great thing. Oh my gosh, I've never had so much fun. Zoom on the computer, you know, you get to work with people and talk to people. It's so nice. At least you can see their faces, you know. I like that. And then take about 10 minutes, ladies, moms, do your nails or something. You can say, what? Are you crazy? What am I? No, really. Tuck yourself in the bathroom or somewhere and paint your nails. Be kind to yourself as you are to your children. And when you do have a setback, be patient. Figure out what you can do better next time and encourage yourself to keep trying. So brothers and sisters, that's why we are spending the time talking about miracles. And I just wanted to end with, let me see, what would I like to end? Well, of course, you know, prophets to the rescue, right? Elijah, right? So besides delivering powerful messages to rulers and people, Old Testament prophets sometimes perform powerful miracles. The books of 1 and 2 Kings recount miracles performed by two of Israel's great prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah performed a miracle for a widow struggling to survive during a great drought. The widow had used the last of her flour and oil to make the prophet something to eat, and in return, Elijah promised that her provisions would not run out until the drought had ended. And within a matter of days, the woman's son fell ill and died. Elijah stretched out over the young boy's corpse three times, praying the entire time. Eventually, the boy started breathing again, and Elijah carried him to his grateful mother. Elijah was a tough act to follow, but his disciple Elisha emulated his mentor. The book of 2 Kings includes two of Elisha's miracles. Elisha met a woman whose husband had died, leaving her to deal with his debts. She was so deeply in debt that her creditors threatened to enslave her sons. And offering to help, Elisha learned that the woman had nothing to her name but a minimal quantity of oil. And miraculously, the oil multiplied and the woman was able to fill many borrowed jars. And with this abundant supply, she was able to sell the oil and pay her creditors, keeping her sons out of slavery. The second chapter of 2 Kings features a second miraculous event, this one involving a wealthy woman from Shunem, a town frequented by Elisha during his ministry. And over time, Elisha became friends with the woman and her husband, even staying with them whenever he was in town. And grateful for their hospitality, Elisha asked his servant to find out if there was anything he could do for the woman. It seemed that the only thing that the woman and her aging husband lacked was a son of their own. So Elisha promised that she would give birth within the year. Elisha's promise came true, but a few years later, the boy died unexpectedly. Not knowing what to do, the woman threw herself at Elisha's feet and refused to go home without him. Upon arriving at the woman's house, Elisha went to the boy and prayed. And then he stretched himself over the boy's body and, as usual as it sounds, lay there until his own body heat warmed up the corpse. Miraculously, the boy sneezed 7 times and was revived. Elisha then asked his servant, Gehazi, to summon the boy's mother to pick up her son. Brothers and sisters, the Bible is endless, endless of wonderful recounts of miracles. In the next broadcast, I think we'll be touching on, my favorite, we got to do the fiery furnace. Oh, yeah, I got to do that. Oh, there's some really good stuff coming. So hang in there, brothers and sisters. Be with me. Come to me. Come and listen with me every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30 here in the amazing station called Radio Maria. You join me, won't you? Sure you will. And tell your friends, hey, let's listen in on this broadcast. It's all about angels and miracles. You know, that's what it's all about. These stories are not hearsay. These are documented cases, brothers and sisters. If you believe in Jesus, you believe in God's word, you believe in scripture. These were actual things that happened. Miracles happen all the time, brothers and sisters. Miracles are happening all the time. People have still seen apparitions of the Blessed Mother. She has still shown herself around the world. So brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. God is strong. God is sovereign. God is faithful, and he loves you, and he will never let you go. You be strong. Have a wonderful day, and be faithful to the gospel, right? Be faithful to the gospel and believe in Jesus. He died on the cross. He rose again, and he is alive and doing just fine. Thank you very much. On earth and in heaven. So he is with us always, and he hears you. God bless you. See you next time. Tell your friends. Okay, bye for now, brothers and sisters. God bless.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.